up to lead in this really challenging time. Because again, we are the most effective check to not just corporate greed, but the labor movement across this country is the most effective check to authoritarianism and attacks on our democracy. So
Absolutely.
President.
So, Brother Trainer, you have an AFL-CIO convention coming up in September. So what's your message going to be?
Well, our message and theme for the convention is strength through solidarity, unified, defend, empower. We are really, really excited about coming together on the beautiful Oregon coast in just a couple weeks to talk about the strategy for the movement moving forward, some of the things that we're talking about today, to celebrate the wins that we've been able to lead on and win, but to also learn best practices for how to take on this fight over the next couple of years, right? We know that specific communities like the LGBTQ community, like the immigrant community, are especially targeted with this bloated approach to ICE and masked agents coming into our communities and ripping people off the streets. That's not just an immigrant issue, that's a worker issue, and that's a labor issue that we are in the trenches with. And so we're proud to, at our convention, highlight the Oregon for All Coalition, the coalition led by Pacoon and our immigrant rights coalition community, to really sort of empower the labor movement to double down in these moments of real great challenge that the immigrant rights community is facing. We're also really proud to highlight the Equal Rights for All Amendment strategy, which is an effort that's gathering petition signatures right as we speak to change the Constitution, to ask voters in 2026 to change the Constitution to codify marriage equality, access to reproductive justice, and gender-affirming care. At the same time, these same freedoms and benefits are being attacked at the federal level. And so we're going to have an entire panel focused on the Equal Rights for All Amendment strategy that it is, again, not just an LGBTQ issue. This is a labor issue because it's a worker issue. And so I think that's really important to highlight. I'm really excited about the speaker lineup and seeing everybody. It's really a one-of-a-kind space. And, you know, my expectation is that we come out of that convention really focused and unified as we double down on this next couple years of challenge.
Wow, it really sounds like you have a lot in the hopper. And so please don't mind if we contact you again to give us an outread of how that convention went.
Anytime, sister, anytime.
You know we will.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Trainer. Oh my goodness. For ensuring that the Oregon residents have a unified way of tracking this national chaos. Thank you for the creation of the Oregon Labor Dispatch and the monthly meeting laying out the local effect these threats pose to Oregon workers. Thank you again.
You bet. It's my honor to be with you anytime and look forward to, I think, probably seeing some of you at our convention anyway. So just in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. All right, all, we're going to wrap up here. The Coalition of Black Trade Unionists meets the second Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock p.m. We have suspended our face-to-face meetings and are utilizing Google Meet to conduct our monthly meetings. We will meet next on Tuesday, October 7th, 2025 at 6 o'clock p.m. Our email address is orcbtu10, and that's the number 10@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Please join us in our ever-evolving adventure of representing Black union workers. And also, remember to go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 to help us maintain our independence and ability to serve our communities. And with that, we'll say holla and happy Labor Day.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO Portland, no compromise in defense of the truth.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, Don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? Down by the river, where the rain runs cold, there's a frog in Portland, brave and bold. He don't carry signs, he don't throw stones, just hops on the line with a megaphone. They call him Big Frog, some say Setar, just a man in green facing ours. But when the gas rolls in, he don't run away, he just croaks out loud, not today. Ribbit, 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 let freedom sing. It's a funny old way to do your thing. With a smile and a hop, you can make your stand in a frog suit holding freedom's hand. With the chicken, the shark, and the unicorn parade, we all march proud in the Frog Brigade.
Welcome to Prison Pipeline, produced at the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. This show is dedicated to all those protesting at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, facility on McAdam Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Last week, I visited the ICE facility in Portland. While at the ICE facility, one peaceful demonstration just ended, and another interfaith protest was preparing a silent solidarity march around the facility to drop flowers, each flower symbolizing a person who has been harmed or taken by ICE. We'll hear from those protesting, holding vigil, and demonstrating in support of our immigrant community members who are suffering injustice by the federal agents at ICE. But first, more of The Ballad of the Portland Frog Brigade by Michael.
Now the chickens clucking near the old town gate. Bears got a banjo and a protest plate. Unicorns glitters flying high and wide, and the shark keeps singing. Justice tied, they ain't breaking windows or burning cars. They're laughing at the law with electric guitars. Cause humor, my friend, is a protest too. When the world's gone mad, you can still stay true. Ribbit, 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 let freedom sing. Ain't nothing so strong as a silly thing. If the world gets dark, don't be afraid. There's light in the laugh of the Frog Brigade. With a smile, a sign, and a homemade tune, they'll dance till dawn under the protest moon. Whoa, whoa. Pride, but they ain't seen that frog inside, standing tall in a storm of hate. Sometimes you gotta look strange to be great. You can't fight fire with the frown and fear, but a big green frog can make it clear. Love's still louder than a flashbang sound, and a good laugh shakes the battleground. Ribbit, 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 the frog won't fade. He's a heartbeat of the masquerade. From the courthouse steps to the riverside, he's hopping proud with peace and pride. Portland town, don't be afraid, you're all invited to the Frog Brigade. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now when you see that frog one day, tip your head and shout ribbit hooray. Cause laughter's power can't be denied. Long live the frog and his country pride. Ribbit, ribbit, hop on my friend. The frog's still singing till the very end, yeah.
Hi, I'm Ink.
And Ink, we're at the ICE facility here in Portland, Oregon. You're under a tent with quite a bit of supplies here.
I'm here to protest ICE because they are not humane. They are doing things that is very wrong. They're taking people away from their families, and those families have no way of contacting them or knowing where they are or if they're okay or if they're safe. And that is very cruel, and it shouldn't be happening.
Do you know of anyone personally that is being detained right now in this ICE facility here in Portland?
Not personally, because I'm not a very social person, but I do know people who've taken their children out of school, fifth generation Americans, because they're brown and they're scared. And nobody should have to feel that fear for their kids or themselves or anybody that they know. America is my home. America is my land, and I don't want to see I don't want to see it fall into destruction, and I don't want to see any harm come to any people on this land because it is my home.
And how long have you been out here under this tent?
I've been out here protesting for about a month. I've been aware of the protests since the beginning, but I've been more active since the beginning of October.
And what is it you actually do? You have a lot of supplies here. First of all, how long are you here each day?
I stay for roughly 24 hours at a time when I come, and then I'll take a day off, and then I'll come back. But as far as the stuff that we have and what we do here, we document the vehicles coming in and out of ICE, and we let the ICE agents know that we don't like them. We tell them our thoughts on them, which is basically, you're a bad person for doing the job that you do. And as far as supplies, we have Operation Inflation, which I'm sure everybody's heard of. It is a bunch of inflatable costumes that come out and they just dance in front of the ICE building to show them, like, hey, we don't like you, but we're peaceful about it. And then we also have medical supplies because the ICE agents are not peaceful. They will shoot us with rubber rounds and pepper balls and gas grenades. I don't know the proper name for them, but they sting and they hurt. And they have no reason to be throwing them at us. I've been pepper sprayed directly in the eye less than a foot away, and the pepper sprays that they have shoot pretty freaking far. So, you know, they're abusing the power that they've been given because they want to, and they're sadists who just enjoy it. I can't really think of any other explanation or reason for the way that they are handling the situation.
Have you personally been hit by one of these projectiles?
I have not. I try to, after the pepper spray, I try to stay away from the commotion whenever they're shooting at us. I run. I'm like, I'm not getting hit by that.
And what do you do with all these supplies here? There's cases of water and ice packs, earplugs.
So, you know, earplugs, obvious for people with ear sensitivity and can't handle the loud noises. Hand warmers, also obvious to warm up your hands. Ice packs for when people do get hit and they get bruised. So that's like basically what all of this medical stuff is for. It's just to help out our people and to make sure everybody is going to be okay. And then the water is for drinking, of course, and we also use it to spray down the pepper balls so that they don't get back in the air and start hurting us again after they've been shot.
So we are literally standing in front of the ICE facility on Macadam Avenue in Portland, where President Trump has called Portland war-ravaged and it's burning. What are your thoughts about that?
There is literally no war here. The only weapons us protesters have are our voices and our cameras, and that is what I think angers the ICE agents, and they're the ones that are in full gear and got guns, every single one of them. Got some type of gun that shoots something, I'm not entirely sure what, but they're the ones that have been aggressive with us and trying to start wars with us. We're literally just out here with our cameras and our voices.
I'm Matt, I'm a former Marine, and I'm here because I believe in the Constitution and the rule of law. When Trump said, I have some really good lawyers, so I may not have to enforce the Constitution, that activated me. So let's go. Yeah.
And you're here with your bullhorn, keeping the pace. Talk about that.
You know, I just want everybody to have a exercise their First Amendment right, regardless of what their views are, but it needs to be done peacefully. And so sometimes people are, if they need to be made aware of what's going on because they're too in their own zone. And so I like to point out some hidden dangers that are coming around or try to help ease the tension or escalate it in the right direction, depending on what's needed.
So you said you're a veteran?
Yes.
So what do you think about federalizing Oregon's National Guard and sending in the troops here to Portland, Oregon?
The Constitution isn't a complicated document. A miniature version hangs on my refrigerator. And so you can't mobilize soldiers on U.S. soil to enforce or to be used against a civilian population. That's cruel to the soldiers. It's against their oath. I don't understand how they think they can do this. And so, yeah, we have to stand up.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for keeping the peace here in the streets right below the ICE agents up there. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Yes, Alejandro, dance is resistance. If you look throughout history, it's always been a form of us to show us that they can't take our joy, that they can't take our humanity. That's all.
Yeah, and I feel grateful because when I'm dancing out there with joy, there are so many immigrants who gave that gift to me by teaching me that I could dance like that and allowing me to have that dance in my life. And we don't want that to go away. We want that here. We want that joy, that culture, the richness of it. And for the gifts that they've given us, like, we gotta show up and fight for them. We're just people who love to dance and wanna do that together.
What message do you have for people that are being detained, being deported right now, family suffering? Do you have any thoughts about that? Any message for these folks?
I have so many thoughts. I don't know if I have the right message for them that they actually need. Like, who am I compared to everything they're going through? To say anything, just being out here, watch out.
Don't take the bad guy pay.
I think from a personal standpoint, and maybe not so much that creates a movement, I have so much gratitude for the centuries of people who have allowed such a rich culture to be in the country I grew up in. And that's not lost on us. You know, we don't see what's happening and just say like, oh, well, you know, glad it's not me or something. Like, we see it and we're not okay with it, and we're out here doing what we can to try to turn the tides.
And you are here. It is a windy, rainy Saturday evening, and here you are.
Oh, just, I'm really proud of the people who will still show up. Like, dancers are hardcore too. Like, if we have a chance to dance, there's gonna be music and a space for it. We tend to just say, let's do it. And there's a lot of people who care. And, you know, we're a Latin dance community and it's really close to our hearts. The dancing that we're so in love with and the people that we're in love with within our community, and it's worth it. It's worth it to be out here no matter what the conditions are.
And how do you think this is affecting the people on the roof, standing on the roof of the ICE facility here in Portland?
There's nothing like music and dance. There's just nothing else like it. It evokes something in everyone, maybe something different. But we can only hope that any human who sees other humans expressing their joy through their bodies, that it's diffusing in some way. It's an activating question because, you know, there's like anger involved. We don't know the agony in everyone's hearts and minds. But we can only hope that seeing such human joy, like I said, in people creates like a glitch in the system that they're working in. Because yes, we're trying to rework a whole system here, but if even just those few guys up there can have a little glitch that makes them think like, there's something different I'd rather be doing. Is there a different way I'd rather be doing this? Just because they run into a group doing something like this, that's just different than what they're used to seeing, right? And it's connected and it's got beauty to it. It's got movement. It's a form of art. No, whether we look artistic or not depends, right? Like, but that's not the point. It's the connection, the human connection, the humanity of it. And does seeing that humanity change something in the way that their mind is viewing what's happening, viewing the crowd, viewing the other humans? And like I said, even if just that little glitch takes place, like, at least we can get something like that. That's the hope.
So Ashley, we're here outside of the ICE facility on McAdam Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Why are you here?
Because things like racism and fascism should be a thing of the past in America, but it's right in the forefront of everything that's going on in politics and in our country right now. I don't see how anybody can support ICE and say that they aren't racist. They're picking up people based on the color of their skin. And so we'd all like to think, at least I'd like to think, that as a nation and as a human race, that those are things that we have overcome in modern time, but they're not. And so I'm out here to fight the things that we like to think America isn't based on anymore, like fascism and racism. And
what have you witnessed here at the facility?
I've witnessed ICE using chemical warfare on citizens who are here to do nothing other than make their voices heard about the human rights violations, about the assaults. When people have come out to even peacefully just protest, we've seen tear gas bombs, pepper spray, all sorts of pepper spray bullets, rubber bullets used against people who are being nonviolent, are exercising their right to free speech, but most people out here protesting are here doing it peacefully. We use our voices, and even when we are super irritated and yelling at the top of our lungs, we're using our voices and our position as citizens, being able to have free speech, to try to get our voices heard. We're not out here starting fist fights. We're not out here pushing or shoving the officers. We're just out here trying to make our voices heard, because none of us like what's going on. And so we've seen physical assaults. We've seen direct discriminations. We've seen chemical warfare. It's an abuse of power. That's why I'm out here, the government's abuse of power. And the fact that fascism and racism and classism are kind of on the top of the iceberg directly with what's going on right now. And so making sure that we're doing this in a way where they can't paint us as the bad guys, at least in my part, is super important, because I might come out here and I might yell at them. But mostly when I go and yell at them, I ask them real questions. I was like, you guys know that your paychecks are being signed by somebody who's taken, you know, direct plays out of literal Nazi handbooks. How do you guys feel about that? But to come out with such aggression and such force towards the citizens of their own country is ridiculous. We've had people reporting, when they're released, reporting blood on the walls. A device that's somewhere between a straitjacket and a torture device is how it was described to me. I have not been taken inside yet, but those are some of the things that I've heard other people reporting back to me when they come out. Yo, you know, like blood on the walls. I was super proud of everybody that came out for the No Kings. 7 million people is amazing. But eventually, either our society is going to collapse or we're going to change our leaders. I don't think there's a way around it.
You have a song written on the back of your guitar. Is this a song about ice?
It is about ice. I will do it a cappella.
Okay, that sounds great.
You tear children from their families, husbands from their wives. You pick people up based on the color of skin or sometimes maybe their eyes. We're not talking of Qatar or Hamas. We're talking American eyes. Ooh, that's ice cold. Hide your children, hide your wives, before they knock at your door. Sir, are there any non-citizens or non-whites?
I'm Tara Velarde, one of the organizers of the Silent Solidarity March.
And you are here in Elizabeth Carruthers Park?
We're here to show solidarity with the local immigrant community, and we're also here to protest against the injustice that we see being inflicted by ICE. So we want to bear witness to the experiences that people are having, and we want to show immigrants in our community that they're loved and welcome, and that we will stand with them.
So what is the plan?
The plan is simple, as always. This is our third march, and we do them monthly. We will gather in silence here for prayer or meditation or quiet reflection for 10 minutes. Then we will walk in silence to the ICE building. We will make three loops in front of the building, dropping flowers each time. Each flower symbolizes somebody who's either been harmed or taken by ICE. Then we'll return here, and we'll end with a prayer or a song. And this is an interfaith gathering, but it really is open to anybody of all faiths or no faiths, as long as people are interested in nonviolent protest and solidarity with their immigrant neighbors.
And which denominations or which churches are involved here?
I'm Buddhist. Somebody else on our planning team is Quaker. We also have a Jewish planning team member and Protestant planning team member. And we are very open to welcoming other faiths. That's just where it started.
And how do people connect with this movement?
We haven't advertised yet. We've just kept it, for security reasons, we've kept it in sort of insular channels. So we've either sent it out via email to people we know, via church bulletins, things like that. I think we may be venturing into a time where we will start advertising, but it's the fourth Saturday of every month. and we do it 90 minutes before sunset. So as it gets darker earlier, we will move the time earlier so that we're out in a timely fashion so that people are not here past dark. This is our third month.
And have you encountered any issues at the ICE facility?
No, none at all. The first month we arrived and it was probably 40 or 50 of us. And people seemed surprised because I think they're used to protests being loud and raucous. But they were very welcoming. And the ICE agents simply watched from the top of the building. They didn't come down or interact with us. Last month, there were about 125 of us. The weather was nice. And again, we had just a wonderful reception. People just watched. Some people actually joined in and participated and grabbed flowers. And there were members of the local protest community who helped us direct traffic and made sure that cars didn't get in the way. I mean, it was a very wonderful collaborative effort that happened spontaneously. And again, the ICE agents never confronted us. They simply stood behind the gate or up on top of the building as we dropped our flowers and left. We're happy to do it with whoever turns out, and we'll do it rain or shine. ICE doesn't take time off for weather, and neither do we.
Alan, I'm mainly here to take photos because I'm a photographer and I really like practicing and doing documentary photography. I don't know, it's just been a really tough time for a lot of immigrants and working class people in the United States, and the Trump administration's not making it any easier. And I think it's more important than ever for people to stand up, to go to the anti-ICE protests and protest against the troops being deployed and just being active, talking to people, having conversations.
What do you plan on doing with the photos that you're taking here?
I usually post them on Instagram. My Instagram's at @IamAlanCohen, IamAlanCohen. And that's usually what I do. I have worked in the past as a journalist, but I'm not on assignment right now.
Your work is probably helping people around the country and around the world actually see what is happening here in the streets of Portland, Oregon.
I think so. I don't have a lot of followers, but I do like it, and I think it's important work.
I'm at the ICE facility in Portland, McAdam Avenue, watching agents standing on the roof of the ICE facility, and I am here with a...
Veteran Tiger.
Veteran Tiger. Hello. Hi. And why are you here tonight?
Because I took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, and no one has ever relieved me of my duty.
Did you say you were a veteran?
Yes, I was in the Air Force. I'm a Persian Gulf War veteran.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
that's
thank
awesome.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate you guys.
Any thoughts about what's going on in that facility right now?
Yeah, I've heard some pretty bad stories. You know, I just want them to follow the law and be humane and be a government agency that is doing what they're supposed to be doing in the proper way. And they're clearly not doing that. So if they aren't going to stop on their own, we have to do whatever we can, which isn't much, you know, but you never know. And so we're here expressing ourselves with using the First Amendment, and we'll see what happens.
And how often have you been here?
Oh, this is probably like my 10th time or something. I started coming down when they said they were going to send my brothers and sisters, the troops, here to enforce, to do something when there's no job for them to do here. This is not a war zone. This is a peaceful protest, even if it doesn't always sound like it because of the words. But, you know, I don't want my fellow military people to have to be involved in this. And obviously we don't want military presence in our cities, especially enforcing law that our cops are here to do.
You've been here 10 times now. Have you been here as a tiger 10 times? And what message do you think your outfit is sending?
I think about 10 times, more or less. This is my second time as a tiger. I usually am here with a big America, yay, but, you know, sign and like a veteran thing. But the tiger, I came down because it's super fun. Except I'm live streaming and it's hard to dance, and you always want to dance when you're wearing one of these. But the message is, like everybody says, the message is it's about love. It's about a sense of humor. The only way that we are going to make difference is to stick with the principles of nonviolence, to try to have compassion for the people who disagree with us, and to just do our best, take the next right step, you know, and do our best to defend America from fascism and tyranny.
So I'm here with Lisa. Lisa, why are you here?
I drive by here at least 5 days a week. The media has the people camped out here that have been here for about 3 months as mentally insane, alcohol, drug use. I've seen none of that. I've been coming since this Monday. But I've been here. I try to stay till the bus leaves, the big white school bus with the blacked out windows. I don't know if they can even see out, but I'm hoping that if they can't see out and they see somebody or see us, the people that are here, maybe it'll give them some glimmer of hope.
What are your personal feelings about the ICE facility and what's going on with people being detained at the ICE facility?
I don't really know what's going on in there, but I'm beginning to believe that what I'm hearing out here on the street, I'm beginning to believe that it is true. There's been a man who was too afraid to be on this side of the street because he was taken in. I don't know what day. All I know is that he ended up in the emergency room. He was kicked in the kidneys, broken ribs, and he wants to be here, but he's terrified of these people, the people behind the guards, the DHS, the whoever they are back there. They've all got mismatched uniforms. I saw a man with an assault rifle yesterday, strapped across him behind the gate. They all come out in mass formation. They come out into the street when the bus comes out. And I just now witnessed yet another car coming out of the ICE facility. No license plates, blacked out windows. And I see these cars coming and going all day long. My housekeeper is at her home, afraid to leave her house because her paperwork keeps being delayed. Her son has dropped out of high school to work at McDonald's to make enough money so they don't get evicted from their home. She's Hispanic. She's in our country legally.
She's here legally and still is fearful.
Yes, because they haven't given her an appointment to come down here. So she's afraid that they could literally pick her up off the street and bring her down here and detain her. And she's terrified. We're standing here. Here comes another blacked out windowed vehicle leaving the ICE facility. It's having to wait because of traffic, but it has blacked out windows. Can't tell if it has a license plate on it, but this is real. And Portland doesn't know. I live up in the West Hills. People don't know what's going on down here, and